Under the Scope.
So here we are, Jared. It is the latest edition of Under the Scope's mobile movie review, Jared. That's what we're calling it.
We had to change the name.
We did.
Maybe we'll tell that story one day.
Yeah, it's a good story. Actually, it's not that great of a story, but it is a story. So it is post-Christmas, and Jared and I have decided to catch up on some of the latest theatrical releases, or at least one release.
And by release, yeah, I was going to say, and by releases, you mean release.
Singular. A singular release. And the film we just got out of was Anchorman 2.
The Legend Continues.
The Legend of Ron Burgundy Continues, starring Will Ferrell. Written by Will Ferrell along with
Adam McKay. Directed by Adam McKay.
Based on characters
by Will Ferrell and Adam McKay.
And this film
featuring Will Ferrell,
yes,
and Adam McKay.
Adam McKay. I don't know if he was in the movie. I don't really know what he
Maybe
looks
he
like.
He was somewhere.
There's probably a cameo. But this film brings back all the regular classics.
Yep.
So who are they?
Will Forte.
Will Forte.
Jimmy Garofalo. No.
What, are we watching Singles the movie here?
You've got Paul Rudd. You've got David Koechner. You've got Steve Carell. You've got, what's her name? Who played Veronica Corningstone?
Christina Applegate.
Christina Applegate. A host of extras.
You've got many, many cameos.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got featured players of
Kristen Wiig
shows up playing another one of her weird characters.
Yes. Yes, Chani Lastname.
I like that name. Did you mention Steve Carell?
I did.
Okay.
I did mention Steve Carell. But it's worth mentioning again because Steve Carell is awesome.
Steve Carell is a winner in my book.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Cyclops, the guy who put the movie Hop on his shoulders and carried it to victory, James Marsden.
Oh, yes.
And you've got
a bunch of other people. We don't need to name them.
A guy that looks vaguely like Woody Harrelson.
IMDb is there for you if you really need to know all the names.
Seriously, everybody wanted to be in this film.
It's clear.
Now, if you don't know, Anchorman 2 is a movie of legend, not just because it's mentioned, Ron Burgundy being legendary, but it took a lot to be made. For those of you who don't remember, the original Anchorman was not really that popular in the theater.
Not much of a success.
Jared and I saw it in the theater.
We did. Trailblazers.
We did a review of it, but we didn't have a video camera, so we just sat around and...
We discussed amongst ourselves.
That was the Scope Alpha edition.
Mm-hmm. Podcasting wasn't a thing yet.
It was not. And we brought it to the masses. But what brought Anchorman to the masses, the home video world, like you said.
Just under me, like I was supposed to say something. Yeah, it kind of found its footing on DVD. In fact, it did well enough that they released sort of a direct video sequel, I guess, which was culled from outtakes and alternate footage from the first film called Ron Burgundy, The Legend More? I don't know.
More Begins or something
like
that.
There was more Ron Burgundy stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I think I own it, but I don't know if I've actually watched
it. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It was exciting at the time because we used to buy every DVD in the
mm-hmm.
world. Now, I will go on record, if you did not see my original review of Anchorman, because if you did, you were sneaking a peek in my living room. You know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I was not
naughty,
a huge...
Naughty,
I was not, like, the hugest Anchorman fan. I thought that it was an uneven film that was funny at times.
Has its moments.
It has its moments, but it definitely was not... this cult classic that what it ended up turning into. And that may be just because of my age. You know, maybe when you're watching films at a certain age, maybe you're in your teens and you see them on cable a lot or whatever, they resonate with you more. You know, the lines stick with you. This was not that film for me. I think the last one for me, like, that was probably Something About Mary.
Okay.
That was sort of my last big comedic touchstone of a film.
Anchorman is a film of moments. It's, you have certain scenes or certain lines that are really, really funny, and it's almost like it was tailor-made for the YouTube generation.
Sure.
Where you got quick bites of comedy, so I imagine it did really well on home video because people could find their favorite moments and watch them again and again, share them with friends,
and
have a good time. And then YouTube came in and ruined the home video market.
So 10 years later or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Anchorman 2 is... Here, it was made through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears.
They rented cameras, they hired crews, and they went to locations,
and
they made a film.
And for a movie that was very, very difficult to be made, it's amazing the amount of press and publicity and marketing they put into this film.
Yeah.
And we saw the movie a couple days after Christmas, as we're driving home right now, and the theater was packed. So at least at our screening... There are mainstream audiences going to see this film. You were telling me that the box office returns.
Box office
are probably
was
a little
not
soft.
Great.
A little soft.
Not great.
So let's talk about Anchorman 2 then, Jared.
Let's do it.
So it is the story of Ron Burgundy taking on the 24-hour news culture.
Yep. He starts out down on his luck. He's no longer...
Not down on his luck.
They start out, he and Veronica Corningstone, our husband and wife, news team in New York, local news, doing really well. And they think it's time maybe that they're going to move up to the big leagues, to the prime time. They've been doing weekends. And it turns out that...
they're only half right.
The big boss man is retiring. The main anchor is retiring. And he wants Veronica Corningstone to take over his seat.
Yep.
And he wants Ron Burgundy out. Out the door. You're fired. You're the worst.
He S-canned him.
So Ron Burgundy retreats back to San Diego.
That's how you really say it.
Where he is down on his luck at that point and eventually gets approached by a gentleman from the new global news network.
It's GNN.
24-hour cable news with an offer to come to New York and to anchor the news. So he goes and he recruits his best news team in America, whatever he calls them.
Yeah.
Your favorites, and they head off to New York to do cable news.
Brand new
frontier of cable news. The only downside is they're stuck at the 2 a.m. spot.
Yeah. So, go figure, against all odds, Ron Burgundy's news team creates massive success, which is kind of a sly, how they do it is a bit of a sly rip on what news is now.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with stories about America and...
how great America is, and cute pet stories.
And deadly weather stories.
Yes.
And throughout their rise to glory, they also do crazy expose stories, and they also... little known fact, Ron Burgundy was the creator of the televised car chase.
Mm.
So a lot of it's talking about the nebulosity, that's a word I just made of.
It's fantastic. It's a fantastic word.
Of modern day news.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this story going, and then as Jared mentioned earlier, it's just a bunch of vignettes as you go through following Ron Burgundy's life. And
there's going to be some ups, there's going to be some downs, yeah. There's going to be some triumphs, some falling back down into the pits of despair.
His hubris of Ron Burgundy destroys his career, and then he must rise from the ashes.
Eventually he finds himself, he centers himself, and he finds out what truly is important in his life.
Yes.
And along the way, he gets into a massive multi-news team brawl in a park.
Yeah, which, is just a little bit of what they did last time, which is a little bit more over the top.
Yes.
So, I said earlier in this review, our Scope mobile movie review, that I was a little hot and cold on the original Anchorman. This film was exactly the same.
Exactly,
100%. We had a full house, as I said earlier, and people didn't get it, for the most part. And I think Jared and I wanted to get it, and it swung big, but it was really uneven. It just was.
It really tries to give you, there are really some truly hilarious scenes. Don't think that this is a waste of your time, because there are definitely some moments that are worth it and are really funny. But for the most part, the story doesn't necessarily make sense. Character motivations shift wildly, even within a scene, to serve wherever the story needs to go. Yes, it's a crazy, absurdist comedy. You're not going for authentic character growth or any sort of motivation that makes real sense in the real world. Because, for crying out loud, Ron Burgundy raises a poor shark that's been marooned in the shallows.
Yeah.
He bottle feeds this thing. Yeah. So
it's out of nowhere.
It's not like this is a movie that's supposed to be realistic, but you would hope that there would be a consistency in tone within a scene sometimes, and it doesn't always happen. So,
I will go on record as saying Will Ferrell to me is probably a top 10 Saturday Night Live cast member.
Sure.
I think he is one of the best that's ever been on the show.
I think you can make that argument.
But overall, have never really been a big fan of any of his movies, with the exception of Elf, which I've said to you over and over again, I think is his best movie that he's ever done.
Okay.
And I think that the reason why it is that there is a consistency in tone and consistency in character, and it's just genuinely cute and clever. Anchorman, along with a lot of his other films, just swings all over the place.
Yeah.
And the goal for the absurdist humor isn't always, to me, the end game isn't always big result, big laughs. It's sometimes it's head scratching. Sometimes it's like you're just sitting there quietly and comfortable. It's just, I'm not always laughing at it. But I agree with you. I mean, there are moments in this movie that are really, really funny. And maybe this movie would have been a great 5-minute SNL sketch. But to be a 2-hour movie
with really
20
long.
Minutes of trailers, which is its own other story, it just left me kind of feeling the same as I did with the first one. And I'm a bit disappointed by that. I was hoping that with more time, maybe it could have been a little bit more fully formed. Even though I like the take on what their commentary on what news is today, even though it was probably 15 to 20 years too early.
I think the film is definitely at its best when it is satirizing our current 24-hour cable news cycle.
Yep.
And you know, basically they have storylines about, you know, just... we said it, there's patriotic stories, there's animal stories, and they even touch on... cable news, where you can create the news if you're in league with a corporation or if you're owned by a corporation, all that stuff. I think it's at its best from a storytelling perspective when it's doing that. Now, does that necessarily make sense with the characters? Maybe not.
Yeah.
I was concerned going into this film that it was going to, because this is a lot of the stuff was improv.
Sure.
So I was concerned going into the film that we were going to have a lot of great, funny little improv moments that probably don't make sense or fit in well with the larger story, and I think that's what we got.
I don't even think a lot of that improv stuff was super funny.
No, not necessarily. It was just crazy and weird, and sometimes you get weird throwaway lines, or they did a take where they would laugh really, really loudly and then immediately smash cut to them not laughing.
Yeah, which is a great scene. I thought that was probably the funniest scene in the movie, and you and I loved it, and the rest of the audience didn't really know what to make of it. But I like that stuff.
It's just, I hope that maybe on paper they had a better script and a more coherent story that maybe got lost in the weeds a bit when they started doing the improv and decided to kind of lean towards more the funnier improv moments versus the purely story moments.
Let me ask you a question, though, Jared. I think this is a great question. This is a super cast. There's a lot of really good people in here.
Mm-hmm.
But would you say that anyone in this cast... their role in this film was the best thing they've ever done?
Oh, no way.
That's the thing. No way. I mean, you have such good people in here, and it's not even close.
No way.
As a matter of fact, I think that, you know, and I like Steve Carell, I think this character for him is maybe one of my least favorite Steve Carell characters. Like, I don't get
It's probably I don't like... in his pantheon of characters, it's not my favorite, but for some reason, I think in this film, I liked Brick almost the most.
Yeah, I agree with you, but what does that say?
I liked his interplay with Kristen Wiig.
Even though she wasn't very good in this film. I mean,
no,
they didn't give her a lot to work with.
And they gave them a couple scenes, but I really wanted them to develop that more. But
it's
Ron Burgundy's story, so I guess I'm not going to get that.
Yeah. So, I think we've said enough about this
film.
We
have. We should probably give it a score.
Let's give it a score.
The Scoop score is 1.75 star.
So 1.75 stars.
Maybe worth it if you like this type of comedy.
Really liked Anchorman, there is no doubt in my mind that this is the movie for you.
Yeah, but maybe you want to wait around until it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Or you can buy it cheap.
And then boost it into a super movie again, and we'll have Anchorman 3 in another 10 years.
I don't know.
Not sure if I want that.
Yeah. I'm not sure where you go with Anchorman, with Ron Burgundy after this.
You sort of covered the what news is, what it becomes, so I don't really know what to say on that.
Yeah, they've already lampooned the current day, so, well, whatever. We'll see in 10 years, I guess.
So there we go. Well, that's our score for the latest edition of our Scope Mobile Movie Review.
Mobile Movie Review.
It's really tough to say.
Maybe you don't say it.
There we go. Maybe I won't say it. So for Jared, I'm Shane. Thanks for watching.
And that's Jared.
Make sure you follow us on YouTube, Jared.
Subscribe, like, comment below.
On Facebook.
Share this episode with a friend or an enemy.
Tell everybody about it is what we're getting at.
That thing.
So there we go. We're out of here. Shane Crest out. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.